Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and Black Power family, welcome to another episode of New Knowledge Radio, the place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Allah. This is our revolutionary Sunday episode, and we are extremely honored to have in our midst our Queen, Mother, and Divine Warrior, comes to us in divine and righteous name, Sister Javon Muhammad. The phone number to call in, family, is 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some and present to others, Warrior Queen, and Divine Mother, who comes to us in that divine and righteous name of Sister Javon Muhammad.
Wow.
Peace.
Wow.
Peace
thank
and
love, you so sister. Much. Peace. Peace to you. I feel amazing after that introduction. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you for inviting me so that we can talk about one of my favorite things, which is health.
Definitely an honor and privilege to have you on. We always begin with the introduction, so you can take as little or as long as you like to introduce yourself to the family.
Okay, thank you. Well, the most important things about me are I am a Black woman, a Muslim, I'm married. I've been married this week, November 8th, I'm going to renew my vows, and I will have been married 22 years, God willing. I'm a mom of three and a grandma of three, soon to be four. So those are the parts of me that I really, really love. In my journey, I've been blessed to become a midwife. And I think midwife describes who I am all the time. And in my midwifery journey, I have been blessed to get into public health. And at this time, I'm the chief executive officer of the Marin City Health and Wellness Center Clinic, which are five public health clinics that serve the Bay Area in California. I think that's it. I don't need to go on and on.
Definitely honor and love to that beautiful union, that strong Black family that we get a chance to glean from, you know, that righteous example of good living, you know. Avid student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, myself, you know, that was an awakening period for many of us. So could you share with us some of your journey and some of the things that you learned along the way in your studies and your time?
Absolutely. So I was born in San Francisco, and I was born to a wonderful mom. She's still living today, but she was a crack addict. And my dad was a crack dealer. So, you know, I grew up like many. Nothing about me is unique, but I grew up in the hood in San Francisco. And I really knew nothing about myself because my family didn't know much about themselves. So, you know, I was educated by those around me. It wasn't proper education, but that's how, you know, I made it through. I became a teen mom. I got pregnant when I was 17. And it was through that journey of being a teen mom and just getting to see some things and become aware that I started to want to know more. I wanted to be a really good mom. I wanted to separate myself from the experiences that I had. So it kind of led me to look for other options. And in 1990, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came to the San Francisco, to the Bay Area. And I had never heard of him. Someone actually sold me a ticket on the street. Some brothers from the USF Bay community sold me a ticket when I was on the street. And I ended up going with my best friend at the time and my uncle. And so all I could say is, wow. Like when I went to see the minister, I was never been the same since. And after that, I started to attend the mosque in San Francisco under Brother Minister Christopher X at the time, and I was 22. And everything that has happened to me that has been amazing, I've been on an amazing journey, but every part of that has been due to just coming into the knowledge of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All praises to Allah. I mean, I feel like just learning that the Black man is God and all that that means, and having, you know, to do for self and to stay out of places that, you know, you're not wanted. I think one of the most powerful lessons for me, especially working in the public health sector and, you know, being in an environment where there are not many. I'm a chief executive officer, and when I go to meetings, there are not other me's, you know. One of the most powerful lessons has been stay out of places that you're not wanted, and keeps me out of a lot of trouble. But just how to eat to live, how to family, you know, how to bring morality into the household, how to fight, how to be strategic. All of those lessons came from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I've just been so, so grateful. But also the finding my purpose. You know, I didn't know where I was going to go, what road I would take. But, you know, just being in the teachings, it helped me to find my purpose. It helped me to realize my journey in midwifery, to find what I love. But more importantly, like, to stay focused and to stay on the mission and not to let people discourage me and to get over the road bumps, because there are many. And just to have something to fight for, like, just to continuously fight for Black people to be free physically, but, you know, more importantly, mentally, because mental freedom will get our physical freedom. And so I can't say enough. I mean, that's when my journey started, when I came into the teaching.
And I would definitely have a story of inspiration and redemption. You know, if we read that story of Ruth in the Bible, and talk about the strength of in character, of her being steadfast, even though circumstances didn't look ideal at the time. You know, her husband, the man she loved, you know, died. And, you know, it was just her and her mother-in-law and that commitment to that process, you know, with famine being great in the land. You know, all of those things, all of those life lessons that are there that hit you all at one time, because, you know, that adage just says when it rains, it pours, you know. So you get everything all at one time. But that inspiration and that willingness that you just shared of the inspiration of why for Reformation, that whole thing right there with wanting to be the best mother you could possibly be, you know, led you on that journey and on that path. And, you know, look at you now. You see, that's a beautiful thing. You know, so definitely a credit to your ability to submit to that process and not allow your circumstances to dictate your outcome. So I think that's a beautiful thing. So now, how important is this birth process that we know little about, even though it's something that happens every day? With you being a midwife, you know, I think I saw a post where you just helped bring some children into the world as of recent, like almost like a week ago or so.
Yes, sir. We just had 3 babies in 3 days at the birth center. It was really exhausting. So my post probably was venting or just, you know, a little bit of comedy between myself and the other midwife that I work with. But you know, we had these births spaced out, and we saw them coming, you know, in a different pace, but it happened one after the other. So we have been up most of the last week. I think birth is amazing. I cannot say enough about how important it is that we as Black people and Black women reclaim birth in some of the natural and traditional ways that that we come from. Because birth in the public health sector is death, and the reason why we built the birth center was to give women on Medi-Cal or poor women who didn't have access to home birth a chance to have that type of birth, a birth where they were in control, they could have their wants honored, and they could be safe. So when I started my midwifery journey, like many midwives I know, I was in love with the home birth process. I was a home birth midwife for years because it was amazing. You get this family, you give them this amazing care, you get to support them. One of the things I love about midwifery is the ability to bring the dad in and to put the dad in the mix and have him to be available for decisions, but also to catch his baby, because it's amazing to look at a man catch his own baby, be the first hands to touch that baby. So I was in love with that, and I still am. I'm not saying that I'm not in love with that process. But as I began to live longer and work more, I realized that the women who came to me seeking a home birth would be okay. because they were already, they had this consciousness or this conscious spark in their mind. You know, they knew someone, and there were other midwives that were available to help them and catch their babies. But the women that became a concern to me were all of the women who would never choose a midwife, or who out of ignorance or stupidity or just love for the white man would just choose that system and come out with a bad outcome. Because of concern to me is the mass immunization of babies that are less than 2 minutes old with hepatitis vaccines, the high rate of C-section rate within the black community and the brown community as well, especially in poorer communities, much higher than other communities, the level of intervention, the way we accept women into care. Like women, and I don't know if you know, and I haven't said, but in the United States, black women are among those with the worst pregnancy outcomes. We lose our babies almost 3 times more than white women, but we also lose our own lives almost 4 times more. And I think we talk a lot about the infant mortality and losing the babies, but we don't talk as much about losing our own lives. And that's tragic when, you know, we come in and lose our lives at 4 times the rate of white women. And we weren't really doing anything. Like the midwives who were in love with home birth, we need, you know, to have that love. But we also need to go after the women who don't have the option to choose midwives. So when I became the chief executive officer of the clinics that I'm at now, one of my priorities was to open a birth center and to do everything different in the birth center, make it look really different than birth centers across the country, with staffing, with models, you know, the way we do care, and to offer this service to poor women, to make sure that we did everything we could do to be able to accept women who have Medi-Cal, in other parts of the country it's called Medicaid, but also no insurance, to be able to give them amazing care. And so we've managed to do that. And since we opened the birth center, it's pretty new, so it's been open a little bit over a year, 90% of the women that we have accepted into care have had Medi-Cal. And that has been amazing for myself and, you know, the other midwives. But I cannot say enough about how many more, we need many more black midwives, many more. Like there in the Bay Area, I think there are less than 4 of us that, you know, can catch babies at home. And there's only myself and the other midwife that I work with that give this kind of care in a clinic, a freestanding birth center, state licensed, nationally accredited, in a clinic that gives traditional midwifery. So it's important. I don't know. I know I went all around the world, but midwifery is my heart, and it is devastating to see what is happening in the healthcare arena with new babies. Like I said, we're immunizing new babies. We're giving antibiotic ointment to babies who don't need it because we don't really deal with individuals. We deal with systems. We're intervening in labors where there should be no intervention. Women know how to have babies. And somehow we feel okay saying that 1 out of every 3 women can't push a baby out. That's insane. Like, we're just not supporting women enough. And of course, whenever we say something in general, if you isolate black women and black families, it's magnified. It's just magnified. Did I answer your question, brother, or did I go everywhere else?
That was amazing. And you didn't go anywhere you wasn't supposed to go in regards to that conversation. It was something that you said that you said at the beginning you said it real fast. And I would like for you to repeat it again. And I would like for you to go into, you know, was even though you touched on it, you said birth in the public health system is death. I wanted the listening audience to hear that again. You see what I'm saying? And I know you explained and you gave some examples about it. That just touched my heart. It was close to my heart. I was born 3 months premature. And I spent the first year of my life in the incubator, in the hospital. You see what I'm saying? So the kind of resolve and patience and care and compassion and love that my mother showed was my antithesis for my care, patience, compassion, and love for our people. You see what I'm saying? So it began with the conditions. You know, The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about the conditions and the criteria around your birth of a thing determines, you know, which path or the nature of the very thing. And he also said struggle is the criterion for greatness. You see what I'm saying? So when you look at that type of situation, you know, and I have three older brothers, so three older siblings, I mean, my oldest sister and two older brothers. So I was the fourth child of seven children. And, you know, these were the same hospitals that told my mother that she would never have any children, that she wouldn't live past the age of 15 years old. She said it was in that day, on that day, when she was leaving from the hospital, that she first learned how to pray to Allah. That day. You see what I'm saying? So in that process, you know, that prostration process, all of it, you know, was there in that moment, you see? So that began her journey and her process in Islam at the age of 15. You know, with hearing this news that she, you know, was possibly going to lose her life and that she would never have children, and all she ever wanted to be was a mother. She said that was her job, her only job, and she took it serious. You see, she transitioned February 5th, 2009. So the things that you're saying in regards to birth and how essential it is, you know, in Islam, you know, we are taught don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. You see? So, like, that whole thing, so this birthing process, this is the creation process. This is how we come into existence. This is how all life emanates, the highest form of manifestation. And this is something that the society shows us as the most degrading and the most demonized process. But nothing exists without it. You know, your thoughts become things. That's a birthing process. You see what I'm saying? So you could either give life or cause death to those ideas. So just like giving life and causing death in regards to this birthing process and having this understanding of what it truly is and how dangerous it is for our enemies to, you know, present it to us as if we look at a child as a bill, like it's a stated bill, like it's like it's a thing, like it's rent or, you know, property tax or whatever the case may be. So they present it like that to deter the natural continuation of life, you know. So, man, you said something that was very key about that. Public health, birth is death. So,
right.
I know I went off.
No, it's okay. When you say coming, you know, preterm, like when black women, when they lose their babies, most of the time they're born too early or they don't weigh enough when they're born. And there has been a lot of research that has tied our preterm rape, our bad outcomes, to racism. And I recently did a presentation where I was trying to prove that it's racism that affects our outcomes. That, at least that's one of the causes and the major cause, because they studied and showed that racism causes us to go early, but they also showed that African women, when they come here, they have the same birth rate as white women. But when they stay here a generation, their birth rate declines and they start to get closer to that of a black woman here because they've now had to survive racism. And so that is exactly what's happening. We're having our babies early, and then we're going into this system that they think that if we could just get rid of the stress, you know, just go home and get rid of the stress, that won't happen to us, not understanding or understanding and just not willing to acknowledge that we are carrying this energy from generations of women that have been mistreated. And we can't – that's not how we can get rid of the stress. So the whole – the way we take care of black people, but then when we isolate pregnant women, it really is not efficient. Like they could, you call this talk black health equity. And I was thinking that every time I hear black equity, it makes me crazy, or black health equity, because there's actually two conversations. And the equity conversation for me is always around resources, right? Like I can go to any meeting and talk about black health equity and mean when I want the same money you give to white clinics. I want the same money that you distribute to all these other communities in my community health center. But then on another level is what we really want. I'm talking about on a community level. Now, pushing the resources aside, pushing the conversation that we have with the government or with white folks or, you know, whoever is going to distribute this tax money, push that to the side. And the next conversation is, do I really want equity with white folks in healthcare? Because it is literally their system of healthcare that makes us sick. Like surviving, we're always surviving white folks. And so the things that they have instituted or put into their system are not good things for us. And I don't want to just have access to the death that they sell. Like, I don't want to have free, it doesn't mean for me, black health equity doesn't mean, like, just like you guys have vaccines, we want them. No, we don't want that. We don't want your vaccines. Like, we don't want your food. Your food is killing us. We don't want your habits that's been killing us. And so I think, like, that black health equity comment or title or school of thought is really for the resources. And then the other conversation is, as black people, how are we going to separate ourselves from this culture that continues to make us sick? And how are we going to tell them, we don't want you to bring that here? Like, for us, black health equity is leaving us alone to come up with strategies and practices and therapies that make us healthy from a cultural point of view, from the culture that we've been trying to recreate ever since it was stolen. And that's the part that they won't, that we're always fighting for, at least at my clinic, we're always fighting, you know, the local and state government for space. Like, we don't want to do it the way you do. We want the money, but we want to use the money to make us healthy in the way we know works. Because they'll just keep, all of their strategies are rooted in white supremacy and racism, especially in wicked healthcare, all of them.
I think Sister Ava Muhammad just showed up.
it's so frustrating, you know, to sit there in it. And, you know, let me give you this example and I'll move on. A couple of years ago, they wanted, because behavioral health is the big thing now. You know, everyone needs to have access to mental health services and money is going into mental health services. And a couple of years ago, they had additional funding available to expand behavioral health programs. So and it was for prevention, but their prevention looked just like regular therapy. It's like you can have this money and add another therapist or add a psychiatric nurse practitioner. And I don't want to do that because then we put children on medication, you know. So I thought a lot about prevention and the idea that we are across the street from a public health housing development, which is our target population. And I thought, well, hell, being poor makes you depressed. And that's not necessarily clinical depression. Maybe that's the brain saying, I don't like how it feels to be poor. Like, I want to do something else. Maybe depression in some circles is a good, healthy feeling that helps you to, you know, get up and change your reality. And so we had to fight for a little bit, for several months, to get that same money. And what we did was instituted two youth programs, one called the Defenders for Boys and then Girl Powers for Girls. And we started to take high school students on trips around the country and introduce them, 4-week trips in vans, 20 children, one van of boys and one van of girls. And we would stop at strategic space, you know, spots along the way, and we would teach them, you know, historical information, cultural information, a lot of nationalism. We went to the South and, you know, learned all about the history of slavery, and we went to all of the colleges, and they would come back motivated. But one of the other things we did was work with the school to identify all of the academic concepts that they said that they hadn't got the whole year. And we arranged some of the stops around what they should have learned. And we did a pre and post test. And every one of these children who had been referred from the school because they, quote, needed meds, or they were just behavioral problems and the school didn't know how they would make it, all of them learned every concept on the road when they could stop, you know, see it, touch it, taste it, be with other children like them, and be in an environment where a black man was educating them and excited about doing them. They all got all of the concepts when we came back. And we have, so it was the first year the county didn't support us. Myself and another sister named Rolanda paid for most of that trip. But the next year, the city supported us because we showed that the children had been able to learn what the school couldn't teach them all year in just 4 weeks. So I'm just saying that what they push, it doesn't solve our problems. It's just a Band-Aid, and eventually it makes us sicker because it's against our nature. We took everyone, and most of those boys that went on that first-year trip was on meds, you know, some type of sedation. Either they were anxious, either they were depressed, you know, they had, what do you call it, ADHD. But we would not allow them to take the medicine because we didn't want them to take it, but we said that they couldn't take it because we couldn't watch it, which was true. We can't be responsible for your medicine. And the children did well. When it was time to be good, they were good. When it was time to be bad, they were bad. They were just children. These people, I'm telling you, if we do not come up with a separate system of health, then we're going to all be robots.
So what about the, I know we got a lot of the false narratives around, especially around the areas of mental health and mental wellness, you know, and overall health in general. What are some of the things that you can share with those families out there that don't have the access? What can they do? You know, is there some places that they can go, or what are some techniques that you share with people in regard to maintaining that state of wellness?
I think that more Black people need to get into healthcare leadership. The reason that I've been able to be effective in a short amount of time is being in leadership in a clinic. So, like I said, for me, it became more important to be able to touch thousands of people instead of 5 home births a month because we're sick in every arena. And so having the interest and priorities that I had allowed me to create a program. We now have a $6 million budget. When I started it, I took over from another very capable person, but we were struggling at the time, and we had a $1 million budget. In almost 4 years, we're now at $6 million. We are building another site now. You know, we keep expanding into other areas. We have, you know, we went from 1 site to 5 sites, but the reason is because it was important for me to be in leadership to be able to say things like, in our dental department, we'll have the toothpaste option with no fluoride. Like, if that's not important to you as a leader, then you don't do that in your clinic because there's no benefit, there's no incentive, you know, and it's looked upon as dangerous. Like, you know, children need fluoride so that they can have strong teeth. So I always say to both midwives and just Black people who are interested in health, we have to do more than just be medical assistants, you know, or in the lab. We have to run clinics so that the things that are important to us become things that we can, implement at a programmatic level. And I think we have to do that in other spaces. I am always trying to go to other areas to work with people so that they can create the same concept. We're what's called a federally qualified health center, and so we get funded by HRSA. And whenever you hear about Trump and them messing with the ACA and repealing that, that is the funding that affects our clinics. But while that funding is here, it allows us to see, you know, thousands of Black folks who come in for either their medical, their dental, their mental health, their addiction, or maternity services. We offer all of those services. And I'm trying to do the same thing in the departments where we have the care. In our dental department, we have a young brother from Hunters Point in San Francisco that's the chief dental officer. So then he's able to say, hey, here are the things that I know are important, you know, in our community. Here are the barriers to mamas taking, you know, bringing their babies down for care. Our birth center director is a Black woman, and she knows all about, you know, poor pregnancy outcomes, and she's all about making Black women well. And so there's not a lot. It's easy to lead when you have these people in key positions where they already know what is impacting us, and they know that they're supported in non-traditional ways to come up with solutions to treat our people. And so I think whether it's here in the Bay Area, or if it's in Atlanta, or if it's in New York, we have to create our own federally qualified health centers until we have enough resources to do it ourselves. But while, you know, while we're paying taxes, we need to be getting that tax money back in our own communities to start clinics that are led by us that serve us so that we can really be well. And there are people out there that already have the skill to do that. And, you know, I'm working with a group in Atlanta that to open a federally qualified health center. They already have federally qualified health centers there. There's many of them, but they're just not led by black folks that have a different look on consciousness. Because in Atlanta, there are black leaders of federally qualified health centers, but maybe they don't really care about vaccines, or, you know, no fluoride is not important to them. So we have to shift and get people in leadership that understand what's happening right now, that understand our barriers to true health, that understand that if we don't break away from the system of white supremacy in healthcare, we'll never get healthy. We'll always be sick people in medicine.
Definitely. So many jewels you've dropped here, you know, in this short span of time. So now let's talk about the Black Power Awards nomination. Can you share your thoughts and how you were feeling about this Black Power Awards nomination? What does it mean to you, and what do you think about the institution overall?
So I'm so excited to be nominated for a Black Power Award. I was nominated last year, but I didn't win, and I was mad. I was looking at the statue the whole time, like, I'm coming back for that statue because it's so beautiful and amazing. I just always love when black people take a moment out to celebrate blackness, like in all its diversity, because I think we hear diversity and we think diversity, different people, you know, white folks, black folks, brown folks. But I think there's enough diversity within the black community to celebrate lots of things. For example, everyone's not in the nation. You know, everyone's belief system is not the same. Everyone doesn't look the same. But, you know, it's something amazing about being able to be black. And we, there are so many of us that work so hard and give up so much of our personal life to serve. And not that, I don't think people do it with the idea of being honored, but just speaking personally, it feels awesome when somebody recognizes your work and says, like, wow, I want to nominate this person. So if I wasn't nominated at all, I would still go. I was going to go last year. When I saw it, I knew I was going to go. I thought it was amazing. I'd always like to support you know, circles and events like that where black people take the initiative to break away from what is, you know, from the regular, from you know, the BET Awards or whatever other awards are mainstream that you look at and you just wonder what is happening with the world. Like, not only is the Black Power Award not that type of award show, not that type of show, but it's honoring so many aspects of blackness and, you know, the academics and food and all the things that make us free. So I think it's amazing. I'm honored to be nominated for the award. But like I said, whether or not I was nominated, I'm still going. And this year we're taking some of the children from our groups, the Defenders and Girl Powers. We're bringing 10 people, 10 young people to the Black Power Awards. And it's because of the workshops. So I really appreciate this year the opportunity to have workshops so that young people can kind of, you know, learn what they need to be doing to build the community that they're going to lead and inherit. And that's what our program is all about. Like I told you, we go all around the country, and they learn about food. They go to the farms. You know, they visit Dr. Ridgely's farm. They visit another farm in Atlanta. They go to Whole Foods in Detroit. There's a really black Whole Foods in Detroit. And they learn about GMOs and organic foods. And they go to Detroit and go to small businesses. They go to, like I told you, many colleges. So it really complements their program to be able to go and sit in these circles for 2 days and learn how they can take over the communities that they live in. So you know, I really appreciate the Black Power Awards. I love it. I hope that they are very successful, not only this year, but years to come. And I hope that more people understand why things like that are important. I know there are some people that say, like, we shouldn't be celebrating because, you know, we're not there yet. But I think that it gives people momentum to keep going until we get there. Like, because it's exhausting. It is very, very exhausting just to do the work that I do, but also to do it with Black folks because we special. You know, so we show up at the clinics, you know, angry about things and, you know, right. It's just we're very difficult people to work with. And so anytime somebody says, wow, you did a good job at that, it feels really good.
Right. Definitely. You know, we're on this broadcast 7 days a week. We initially just started out with Saturday and Sunday, you know, but, you know, the need arose and it grew. And, you know, then it became a staple. Like, you know, people, they want to check out Dude Knowledge Radio. So it's like every day now. So we're on 7 days, you know, sometimes 8 days a week. I think we got an extra day in the week. And, you know, helping out other people with their broadcast and things like that and, you know, networking with other people so they want you here, they want you there or whatever. So, yes, it's exhausting and it's rewarding to know that people are interested in themselves, you know, to the point to where they want to know, you know, what's going on. They want to know, you know, what they can do to improve themselves and also how to, you know, support those brothers and sisters that are out here doing these things. So you mentioned this youth program that you have. How can people support that program in any of your endeavors that you're doing, you know, in this community?
So the first way is always money because it costs. So we just came back from Cuba, and next year we're shooting for Haiti. And we were at Standing Rock last year. So we take these trips, and anytime we get financial help, that's great. But another really great way to help with the programs is to offer your talent. So as we take these road trips, we stop different places, and we're hosted by different people. We learn about relationships. We visit Wedded Bliss and Nisa Islam in D.C. You know, we do all of these stops. So if you have a skill or talent, a business or a service that you know would help this group to learn how to free themselves, how to take control of their community, how to be healthier, how to have healthier relationships, then we will plan to stop at your, you know, at your house or your business on the road trip. We visit 26 states, and we usually start planning around this time for the summer of next year so that we have all of, you know, our little road trip plans on board and we know where we're going to go. We go into Canada as well. And so that I think that is a great way for people to help us is to just share what you are and what you do with our children. And they're, like I said, they're high school children.
And what has been their reception to everything that they have received, that they have taken in thus far?
Can you say that one more time? I didn't hear you.
For the children, can you share some of the experiences? Have they shared any of those? Have they written anything down? Have they did any videos or anything like that documenting
they
their
do.
Experience?
We do have something. So I know that they did a video, Rolanda did a video when we came back from Cuba. In Cuba, one of the things that, you know, because I think sometimes, and remember, I live in California. So Black people are fleeing California very fast, and we're not in L.A. We're up here in Northern California. So a lot of times Black children don't see a lot of themselves, and they've been restricted to the community that they grow up in. And so going to Cuba, one of the things that stood out immediately for them was that Cuba was a Black island. They could not believe, you know, how many Black Cubans there were. So they got really excited about that. And we went to Guantanamo and met with activists, and they learned about the Haiti-Cuban connection, which is why we're trying to tie Haiti in next year. When we go to the South, we used to start our trip going to the South first and then coming back through Chicago. But we had to stop doing that because the children really don't know a lot about the history of slavery. All they know is what they learned in these schools that don't want to teach them that anyway. And so it would be a lot for them. So now we start our trip, we leave California and we drive out to Chicago and they learn about the nation. And then we go into, and they learn about nationalism in general. Last year year before we met with Fred Hampton's son. So they just learn about nationalism and freedom fighting now and standing, you know, just a lot of things about our modern history. And then we go to New York and we go to the African American Burial Center and we do some other things. But then as we come down and go into the South, that really, really, really affects the children. And it's been something great to see because I feel like when we really see the children express themselves, as we go to this plantation in North Carolina, I think it's called Stagville, and it was one of the largest plantations when it was running, and they had 900 enslaved people. And they give us access. They still maintain, as a state park, they maintain one of the quarters for the enslaved people, and they give us access to that for a couple of hours. And we do these activities where that make them stand in a circle and have to acknowledge how their ancestor, who may have been there, like who survived, who could have killed themselves, but survived so that they could be would feel about them, you know, if they were here today. And it is the first time we see the children cry and like really break down and really like acknowledge responsibility and that there were people who went through horrible things so that they could be. And that always is the most memorable stop for them. Because of that reason, everything else is a little exciting for them, and they get really pumped about being Black. And you know, they see all of these positive. We make sure to show them all of the positive pictures of Blackness and the diversity in Blackness. And a couple years ago, Harvard Black Student Union hosted us, so we take them to Clark, Atlanta, and Howard, and all of that. But we try to roll them through Harvard, like you own this, you could do any of this, it's all yours. And so they get really excited about it. And they have written small things. Most of the things they write, we use in reports for the school and for the funders, because we now have more, you know, we used to try to fund it ourselves, but now we have about 5 funders.
That's remarkable. I think, I hope we can get an opportunity to have you back on and, you know, have some of the children share some of their experiences. It's nothing like, you know, allowing them that creative space that you just spoke about to express themselves. And I'm definitely more than willing to be able to create a space that they can express themselves. So, because they reach another audience of people, you know, they might be able to tell their friends, hey, we're going to be on the radio. You understand what I'm saying? That does wonders, you know, so whatever I can do.
And they love it. Yeah, it's good for their mental health because they're children who haven't been heard because they were, you know, labeled as behavioral problems. So it's all good. They would love that.
Yeah, so anything I can do to help, sis, you already know. It's all good. So, you know, we're getting down to the last few minutes here. You want to share any final thoughts and also how people can reach you, contact you, and, you know, anything that you have coming up that you would want to put out to the family, you have this opportunity right now.
Well, let me just start with how I can be reached. So my name is Javon Muhammad, and most people reach me on Facebook, but my email is noimidwife@hotmail.com, which is the best place to reach me other than Facebook. And a good thing to reach me about is any people who are trying to set up midwifery programs, who are trying to set up clinics, who are trying to, like, work through a strategy of services to provide and how to do that, where to find the funding for clinics like the one that I operate. And then also women who are pregnant and who have, you know, some questions. I sometimes get questions that I definitely can't answer from women who are pregnant because they don't live by me and I've never touched them. But just general things, I'm always happy to work with. So I would be interested in talking to anyone who's really interested in building around healthcare and particularly women's health. I would love that. I told you what I had coming up next week is all about renewing my vows, and being happy to be married 22 years.
I don't want no trouble now. I don't want no trouble. Well, I apologize.
No trouble, but I'm so pumped about that. And we're going to live stream part of it because I have a friend who is amazing, and we've been talking about trying to counter the energy behind all of these celebrity weddings that just don't show the best part of us. And so, just creating another look at what it is like to be married, not only married, just getting married for the first time, but staying married. And so we're doing some work around that, and some of our young people from those programs that I mentioned are going to come and do some live streaming. And then I hope to be at the Black Power Awards. And that's it. No babies are coming for at least a month because we planned around this.
Right, definitely. So I definitely hope to see you in Atlanta in a couple of weeks here. This broadcast was nominated for Internet Radio. So, hopefully, we go down there and be able to network and, get some more guests out here and the like, so we can get some things happening, continue to tell this story. And this month is dedicated to Black love, so you and Mr. going to have to come on and share some secrets. That's like an anomaly nowadays, So how long you been married? Oh, 2 days. Yeah, it's rough. You understand what I'm saying? Right, so even with all of the changes in regards to who's getting married to who and all of that, for 22 years, that's a milestone. That's an institution. It's not an organization anymore. It's an institution. So maybe you could share, y'all could share some secrets with us in regards to that Black love and Black family. Raising children and grandchildren. If y'all willing to share. If not, then it's cool.
We willing to share, but my husband would crack up because he'd say, this thing right here has been day by day. That's the secret. It's been day by day. And, definitely not easy, but very rewarding. And I'm just grateful that we were, that it has been like this.
That's beautiful. I thank you again for your time, for your candor, for your passion and compassion, your honesty and your intellect and your creativity and your brilliance, Queen Mother. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you soon.
All right.
Peace.
Peace and love. All right, that was Sister Jamal Muhammad coming on, showing us some love and speaking about Black health, family, Black power, Black inspiration, and our future generations. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe to the show here at www.blogtalkradio.com/DothaNowsRadio. That's DothaKnowledgeRadio. Check us out at DothaKnowledgeUniversity.com. Follow the show on Twitter. Again, that's at KnowledgeBorn15 on Twitter. Again, that's at KnowledgeBorn15 on Twitter. You can catch us every Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Get This Wisdom Live. Go to www.GetThisWisdomMagazine.com. Subscribe to that one-of-one amazing magazine. Salute to Shock, the Everlasting Peace, Earth, and the Divine. A dynamic team that is Get This Wisdom Magazine, Callie Devine, Keith Young, Bria DeMoss, and everybody that's associated with that team. They are coming up next week on their 1 year anniversary, and they will be in physical print. So 11/11, they will be here on Do The Knowledge Radio, celebrating and telling us about all of the things that are associated with this, digital dynasty that they created now going into physical print. So you don't want to miss that. opportunity. Y'all can check us out tomorrow, Black Psychology Monday. I'll be on with Sister Renee of the Epic Show Rundown with Renee. You can catch me on that later on. Myself and Doggy Diamonds, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be on the Rundown, and we will be giving the Rundown on the Black Power Awards, Black Power, you know, and everything that's going on in the arena of current events. So we'll be there, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow is Monday. Melanin Magic Monday will be on Black Psychology here. Myself and Sister Renee, Tuesday, the Book of Bricks series, we will be on 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our brother Ty here, RVG, will be in the building. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Book of Bricks series, Wednesday, Black Survival 2017 and beyond, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday, Sankofa Circle Revolutionary University, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when India Asada will be in the building. Friday, we'll have the Truth Hour with my brother Truth. He'll be on 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And like I said, this Saturday, we'll be on with the Get This Wisdom Magazine Supreme Dream Team that will be in the building. And Sunday, Revolutionary Sunday, we have another episode. And also Saturday and Sunday, we're doing these behind the scenes look at the making of Do the Knowledge Radio. So Saturday and Sunday. So if you're out there, family, you want to share your thoughts and your experiences listening to the broadcast, either you're a listener or guest or a combination of both, you have the opportunity to be able to share your thoughts live via our YouTube channel, Do the Knowledge Radio, on YouTube. So we have that series going on. And also on Wednesday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the Remembering Osiris Study Group led by the Chief Priest of Inisu and also the author of this magnificent text, Remembering Osiris, my brother, Chief Priest Uncle New of Inisu Tribe. We are on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time via our YouTube channel. So we'll be on YouTube on Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, dealing with these aspects associated with, and we'll just be on, you know, 7 days a week. So the only way you can be in tune or in contact with what we have going on is to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Do Knowledge Radio. Again, that's DOTHAKNOWLEDGE. RADIO, and we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and be on live with my brother, PAP Veteran Young Duke.
My skin is rich. I got the $1 million melanin. I'm talking about the deep chocolate the prophets be dreaming about selling in. Every element is elegant, it's effortless. No need for embellishment. I'm coated in a coat of cold, and my black hole be black gold. Black, bold. No lighting on my photo. No, make it dark. Naked like tree barks. And yes, my bite is vicious, but please don't compare me to no bad bitches. I'm indigenous. El Kebalan, no Revlon, no silicon in my tush. I'm cute in my cush. I'm the aftermath of the burning bush. You see me every time you close your eyes and make a wish. I'm that dark licorice. I mean that dark liquor mist. Natural, no Remy. My hair natural, no Remy or Yaki. I get happy when they call me Nappy or Blackie, cause wearing nothing at all, I be the belle of the ball. Wherever I fall, where they steady hacking, they lacking self confidence, dark and lovely, nothing of me ugly. The sun loves me, my sons love me. I'm the same color of the streets they be hugging. I understand them and understand them both ways. I call the dark age, and I'm black power and so much more, and that's more spelled with two O's and no E. And if you know anything about me, you know I put the hue in Huey P. I was the inspiration for the activists, the blackest fist. Fuck with a pigment. They ain't fucking with my pigment. I'm the tinted type with the inner light, the dimmer daughter. I wrote this poem for my great-grandmother, who used to put bleach in her grandbaby's bathwater. She told my mother to scrub harder, thinking that the black would come off. Maybe self-hatred is crazy. They call my mama a tar baby, but I'm that star baby. The morning star made me, Oshun made me. Well done, and well done again. Kudos to my kin for making sure I was proud of my skin tone, so I never got hung up on any Willie Lynch syndrome. You read wrong. I'm confident, headstrong. Nothing but love for my sisters they call Redbone. I'm just a black stallion that be styling, and I be dressing like I own 1,000 islands. They ask me what I do and who I do it for. I told them I do it for the woman that told my mother that she was too dark to rock the sterling silver earrings she just got. See, my mother grew up Cajun in an age when to be considered beautiful, you had to resemble a Caucasian. Crazy how those conversations consecrated a color complex, coded in their context. But somebody should have gave them contacts, because last I checked, every color goes with black. As a matter of fact, every now and again, I rock red lipstick. For the idiot that said it doesn't blend well with dark skin, but he gets lost in the heat of the evening. Every time he sees me wearing it at an even, he's heated and fiending for Hershey's kisses. He heard. She kisses like... She heard. He heard. She kisses like strawberries covered in silhouettes. I'm secure in my shadow. Nothing but teeth and eyes. Yeah, I'm the tea kettle, the black widow, divorce and beauty European eyes. They ask me what I do and who I do it for. I told them I wrote this poem for my little chocolate-covered mentee. A little girl who's draped in the same rich skin as me, but for some reason she still feels empty. And that's when I told her, baby girl, your skin, that's your inheritance. You're wearing it. It's staring you in the mirror. But she was taught to fear her, taught that she was inferior. So of course this little dark-skinned girl wanted to be light. This little dark-skinned girl wanted to be light. And that's when I looked right at her and told her, baby girl, light is exactly what you were made of. You're what's produced when shooting stars get together and make love. God made us black, all the colors of the spectrum. That's why I never disrespect them. That's why I stay checking this bag. I told you, my skin is rich. I got the $1 million melanin. I'm talking about the deep chocolate that the prophets be dreaming about selling in. Every element is elegant, it's effortless. No need for embellishment. I'm posted in the middle of the African flag with my African ass. And I'm so proud about being black. Love yourself.
Yeah, I love being black. Do you love being black? Yeah, I love being black. Hey, I do this for my people all across the globe. Hey, it's break.
The skin I'm in fit me fine, tailor made, yeah, I'm comfortable. Yeah, I'm comfortable. And so it seems I'm still chasing my dreams. They told me, watch my steps, they want to pull the rug from under.
Right from under.
This is transparency, my life 3D.
You
live every word that I utter, reporting live from the gutter. Where the mind's hard to change, but we don't give up on our brothers and sisters. Cause we all need one another. The time's getting closer, revolution, feel it coming. I can smell it in the air. Inhale it, let it embody you. Because chances are the cops pull you over, they body you. Plus we don't trust each other, so that's just another obstacle. Why jump hurdles to make a change, it ain't optional. Olympian mindset in this booth with my binoculars. I see my vision getting clear, just as what a prophet do. My music touch the people's soul, black power gospel
tune.
So many styles, watch me kick them like they soccer moves. Falling rank and file, this is my platoon. Soldiers at attention, ain't no Willie Lynchin'. This the program, who they think they kidding? Reinvent the system, total reconstruction of our mental stigma. This ain't a game, boy. Still they think I'm talking about Nintendo, that's a shame, boy. Augment reality, better fix your brain, boy. I love my people, hope they love me black. I'm going hard and ain't no holding back. Watch me react, I put my fist up in the skies like a beacon for believers that one day we return to our greatness. If we seek it, all the glory we can obtain it. Keep reaching, keep reaching. I'm painting this picture, I hope you see it. Just what the theme is.
I love being black. We turning up.
I love being black.
Say it loud.
Man, I love being black.
One more time.
Man, I love being black. Hey, hey, hey.
Well, how about you that sing these tunes too? Customized for you a little something you can grow to. Feeling good about yourself. Melanated mood muse. Always service humble pie. We don't care about who's who. Light brown or dark skin. This right here's for you too. We all
melanation, renovation of our databases. Gotta fix the trinity to make it fascination. There's a rabbit in the hole, your decision, you gon' chase it. Or just shut up for complacency, here's your motivation. Black power in your veins, up to us to build a nation. European mental detox, completely we erase it. Cause you can't keep writing over old information. Probably bring it right back, if you love being black.
I love being black. We turning up.
I love being black.
Say it loud.
Man, I love being black.
One more time.
Man, I love being black. Hey, hey,
hey. I do this for my people all across the map. Even for the ones who don't identify with being black. Hebrews the best elixir. Go ahead and try your best. This truth serum, I let loose spirits. The ancestors speak through me. I spit the truth. Hear it.
You hear
broken
it.
Souls here to re-engineer them so that they fearless. This precious atmospheric as the elephant. Trying to strategize a way so we can start winning. If it gives a pride of yourself, embracing this feeling. Said no new friends, that's what happens to the village. Too much individualism, it's easier to pillage. I'm just making this appearance for coherence, so you can understand what we up against. Hit the reset button, switch covenants. It's a contract to the people that I'm publishing. It's a new era.
We back, we back. So it becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some, present to others, my brother, PAP veteran, young dude, aka the kid is in the building.
Building, I'm in the building, reporting live from Fort Lee. It's beautiful out here next to Edgewater River Road and all that, man. You know what I mean? All you see is that it's straight water. And then you see NYC. Couple places above, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
What's going on, y'all?
Hey, we good, man. How you?
Oh, man, I mean, I'm alive. I ain't going to be the one to complain, man. Ain't no reason to complain, man. We trying to do right out here, man. There's so many brothers losing their lives, yo, and that's a fact, especially if you're from New Jersey.
That's real. That's real.
Word.
Land of the Romans right there. You know what I'm saying? We Romans. We still Romans. 2017, we still Romans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. We still roaming these streets, man. We still walking the earth. You trying to be the best at it, though, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. All the listeners, man, check this out, man. I go by the name Young Doe. I've been doing this thing for a long-ass time. I got 20 years under my belt. For all the people who say, who the hell is this kid talking, man? Young Dude, you can follow me at YoungDude118 on Twitter, YoungDude_ on Instagram, YoungDude on Facebook. Check me out. I'm out here ripping and running, trying to make something of my motherfucking life.
Right. Right. Yeah. So what you got up your sleeve, man? I seen some of the visuals, you know what I'm saying? You got some notables and some quotables,
Shout out to the boy Jada Kiss. You know that I run around with Jada Kiss. You know what I mean? I represent that soulraspy.com. You know what I mean? rest in peace to Ice Pick J. You know what I mean? He one of Jada Kiss' managers, long-time manager, long-time representative, you know what I mean? And, you know, he was definitely collecting all the data for the soulraspy.com website. The website been down for a second, you know what I mean? But I'm still out here pushing the motherfucking agenda. What's going on, world?
Word. So you got the product. You got to hit the streets, or it's in the streets. How it's moving, you know what I'm saying? How can we get that?
The product came out Monday, 6-inch boots, you know what I mean, by Timberland, brown joints. You know what I mean? Not constructs, but in the construction way. You know what I mean? Because they 6-inch, got the top joint at the top. You know what I mean? But instead of the brown leather joint, it's the green suede. You know what I mean? And they all leather, brown leather. You know what I mean? And they right. go and they only run Jimmy Jazz stores for $200. So,
right.
You know, I don't know where all Jimmy Jazz's is located. You know what I mean? But if you're in New York, it's one in Brooklyn, it's one in Harlem. If you're in Jersey, it's two. It's one in Newport Mall, and then it's one in Woodbridge Mall. Jimmy Jazz stores only.
Jimmy Jazz.
Jimmy Jazz, y'all. Yeah, some boots out there for you, man, from the hood, man. Niggas put it together, and, you know, it ain't no big promotion for it. You know how that go. When you got something, you come from the bottom, or you got an idea, it don't really go as further as you want it to go. You know what I mean? But, I mean, it definitely got its placement in this world.
Definitely.
And we need platforms definitely. Like yours so we can tell the people about it. That's it.
Word. And you know I'm going to push it. You know what I'm saying? I push
yeah,
my
man.
Fam. It's my fam. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's a different tax bracket right there. That's my fam. You know what I'm saying? It's family over everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You know, we just out here trying to do something different, man. We just out here trying to be creative, trying to share ideas with people. And you know that for all you creators, all you people out there trying to push the agenda, just keep going. Don't stop. And a lot of times it don't come along with a check. It don't come along with no bread. But your ideas get to manifest. You get to see how things work. You know what I mean? This business right here is up and down. It's fickle. You know what I mean? We call it the devil business, but it is what it is. We ain't complaining. This is the life we chose, baby.
Right.
You know,
it's
everything
like,
don't go right. Everything don't go right. Some things go left. But we ain't going to be complaining. Yo, this is really the life we chose. I chose this life from 15. You know what I mean? I got for real in 2001 when the boy by the name of Hami Ham got signed to Loud. That's when it all changed for me as far as the business is concerned. And my life ain't never changed, none of that shit. You know what I mean? We ain't make no multiple dollars. But what I did do is learn the business because of certain people. Shout out to Dar Parker who still work at Shady Records at this point right now, from 2001 to where we at, 2017, here's somebody who brought us to New York from 2001. Right now, he's A&R, head A&R at Shady Records. So I learned some of the business from him, and I got to travel.
Right. Definitely, that was a defining moment for me. You know what I'm saying? I was overseas. You know, I'm like, yo, shit, look at cousin in the sauce. cousin in the sauce. We tell
you know how the agenda changed now, where it's like they out here saying that they independent, but they really not independent. They really signed for a label. But the whole thing is, it was the same thing for us too. You know what I mean? The kid was signed, but he was going as, I'm not really signed. So this is how he ends up in the sauce and all that.
Right.
It's a collection of the moves that you make that get you to the place where people can see you.
Man, change the game, man.
So it was definitely a defining moment. The sauce was definitely a defining moment. You know what I mean? We flew out there for the sauce, well, not even the sauce tour, for the sauce awards. And, you know, we flew out there on a Thursday. The Source Awards was on a Sunday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yo, I ain't had no ticket to get in the Source Awards, man. He had a ticket. It's because of the way this shit works. I was out there on a label situation. So I was there. The label paid for me to be there from Thursday to Monday morning.
Right.
But the source was making sure that he had a ticket and he was doing whatever it had to do with the source. But I still got myself inside. You know what I mean? Shout out to MOP.
Right. Right.
Bash out Posse,
right.
Brooklyn. What's up, son? They the ones I snuck in with them. And when I snuck in with them, I made it. And then I made it on stage. And the shit came on UPN.
Yeah, I was dumb enough
when
I saw that. Right.
So when Mob Deep introduced these women, we was on stage.
Right.
I was on stage with him, and I wasn't even supposed to be. But this is how you finito this shit.
Right.
So all
definitely.
The people that's listening, it definitely could be, it could happen, man, always around. Ain't no rules in this game right here. What's going on,
man.
Though, brother?
Hey, man, you know, we out here, you know, striving to do the same thing you're doing, man, striving to make a difference, you know, giving a voice to the voiceless. You see what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
A lot of our people don't get an opportunity to express themselves. That's why a lot of people dubbing out virtually on social media. It's the first time they got attention. Somebody actually paying attention to what they're doing and what they're saying. You know,
exactly.
So.
That's one of the points and the dilemmas we struggle with every day. And shit, I know the difference though. It took me
right.
some wild years, but man, I know the difference, man. I know the difference between social media
right.
and regular life, man.
Right. Regular life.
Anything you gotta be on, motherfucker.
All your life, though, you see what I'm saying? So regardless, you know what I mean? Like, you still could go. Like, once you start, you know, people start venturing off into this fantasy land, they can't go back to where they from. You know what I'm saying? They can't go back to where they from. You know what I mean? So it's still good. When you still it's still hood,
it's still
good. You know what I mean?
Hard,
like,
it's still hard, bro. You speak on me, it's like it's the tale of the two things, man, because it's hard as hell to still be in the hood and still be public and still share all your shit out here and still wanting to be out here and be safe. It really can't happen, you know what I mean? I try to be as low as I can, not because I'm scared or I'm running, nigga, because it ain't safe.
Right.
I was just on South Orange Ave with my man Monday night. It's like 10:30 at night, man. Just went to the store, and it was pandemonium outside, man. I'm not saying that it was like 100 people, but we're talking about the hood. And when the hood don't
right.
see you like that, and they know that you've been doing all right, it's a different type of love they show you. So they
right.
clutter around you. They ask questions.
Right.
They want to know. If it's some females who don't care, they want to take selfies. They want to take a picture. So a lot of that's cool, but then a lot of that's like, dog, I don't even want that. I just came to the store.
Right. Your handshake and matching your smile.
Yeah, man, it go both ways, man. It go both ways, man. Social media, it's really supposed to be the tool, man, to promote. But
right.
you see that with regular people who don't got nothing to promote, you see what they do. It ain't nothing but talk. You're in your business, letting people know what's going on in your world, which ain't really about nothing, but they sharing it. A lot of that get on my nerves, man, but, you know, what the hell it getting on my nerves got to do with anything? It's something that we got to dibble and dabble through, man. We need social media. Social media need us, and that's just it.
Right. It ain't going nowhere, you know? It ain't going
nowhere.
Oh,
it definitely ain't going nowhere. It's technology, baby. This is it.
And it's a strat, you know. You use your free content to push your paid content, to direct traffic to your paid content. You use your free content to direct that traffic to your paid content. You see what I'm saying? So your paid content is whatever you striving to push out there that, you know, brothers and sisters can support. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's there to be used as a tool, as a doorway, you know, to open, you know, another doorway. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's cool. You know, I've been doing this 7 days a week, and you know, I'll be bugging on the different type of people that I get an opportunity to meet, you know what I'm saying, you know, to build with, to break bread with across the country just off of what we're doing on the radio 7 days a week, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's ill. You know, we're about to go to Atlanta in 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying, for this Black Power Awards type of situation.
What's going on in Atlanta for you?
You know, the radio show got nominated for a Black Power Award, so I'm going to be down there in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying?
Man, that's what, we deserve some claps in the background, man, some applause, man. We definitely, that's what's up, and that's what's going up, man.
Word. I mean,
that's dope.
It's hard work, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's the frustrations, it's the sacrifice, it's bread, you put bread out
right,
to go
man.
To it.
Listen, there ain't too many people out here doing the shit that people out here, that we out here doing, man. It's either you got to do it yourself or you got to find some individuals that's willing to help. People put all the bullshit before the real shit that they know that you love and endure.
Right.
Oh, you did this. Right. Oh, you did that. All this wrong. All that's wrong. But at the end of the day, when all them shits go through, guess what's going to happen? I'm still out here fighting, chasing my fucking dream.
That's it.
And none of that shit don't matter. It might matter to you for your fucking moment, for a fucking a season. But at the long haul, it don't matter because I'm chasing my dream. And guess what? You don't really care about my dream like that. You don't even care about my dream when you see it.
Then the envy come in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
that means
and even the congratulations.
Yeah, but that means that my dream is only my dream, and that you don't care about my dream only when you see, only when somebody else will bring it to you, only when somebody else talk about it.
Right.
Because if my dream was, it ain't got to be a dream, but it's shit, you supposed to be my friend. You my
right.
friend? Shit, you want to help me flourish. And I only
right.
say that because if you see me already moving with the shit, that means I only need a little bit more.
That's it.
I ain't just getting off the porch and say, hey, man, I want to do this. This is what I want to do, y'all. I need help. And people say, oh, man, fuck that. Help you. You ain't willing to put in one of your, you ain't willing to put in the work. Now, I put in the work. I put in more than over 20 years of work. And I still ain't motherfucking the love still out here biased. But you know what I mean? You got to outweigh that love and just keep going because it ain't about no fucking love. We ain't doing this for no love. We doing this for the love of the craft.
Right.
We're doing this for the love of the crowd. We're doing this for the love of the things that we love to do.
Right.
And that's it. So when the passion is, hey, man, if you roll with it, you don't roll. That's it. I get them fucking shits under my pictures all day. Why you ain't take me here? Why you ain't tell me? Why you ain't? Man, what I'm telling you for? Right now, I'm in my
right.
regular life. Ain't nobody call me. Ain't nobody check up on me as a
right.
friend I'm talking about.
Right.
But when I'm out and about, who am I supposed to call?
Right.
Yeah, I ain't nobody. Just keep doing it myself. Because you know people
right.
got that thing to say, hey, man, ain't nobody gave me nothing, man. I did it all myself. Well, but we're in the music business, so. In the music business, you can't do everything by yourself. That's just that doesn't even make sense.
Right.
So, when people say, I did it myself, you can't do it yourself. Either you didn't got signed, you didn't got a sponsor, you didn't got some type of help. Anytime you get signed, that's called help. So you can get
right.
help with the shit that you need done. So you can maintain and go handle some of the resources that you need so you can get things accomplished. That's why with people always out here, you know what I mean? We can have talk one-on-one. Excuse me. And that's why these people got it all misconstrued when they ain't hot or nothing. They talk about I need a manager. You can't have no manager if you don't have any affairs to manage.
Right.
You think that when you get a manager, a manager supposed to set up shows for you? You're supposed to set up radio station interviews for you?
Right.
Yes, as far as the help is concerned. But if you don't have any affairs to manage, how can you have a manager? How can
right.
you pay him?
Right.
You know what I mean? We want the 15% off the top. We get that when the check comes. You don't even see that money.
Right.
So it's a lot of misconstrued about this business here that we love, man, because of social media. If you could just do it, you could just put it out and get instant gratification.
Is it still a deal type of situation? Is it still really an industry? Is it still really an industry, or is that a misnomer?
I mean, it's still an industry because you still can make money.
Mm-hmm.
Until there's no money left. And it's not that, but it's still an industry because you still make money from it. You still make money from sales, streams, merchandise, you. You know what I mean? I mean, you is what I'm saying as you is your brand, your walkthroughs,
right.
your coming to an event and this, that, and the third.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're still getting paid. So, yeah, it's still a fucking industry. It might not be the best industry. I mean, things have changed, man. You know what I mean? Records used to come out on Tuesday, man. Make no ifs, ands about it. Every Tuesday is a new album out. Now the thing changed. It come out on Friday night.
Mm.
I mean, not Friday night, come out Thursday night, Friday morning. So every Friday is something new out. You know what I mean? Thursday night, we checking the scoreboard to see what's going on, what's out, and all that. So it's a different stigma, but it's still an industry as long as you still can make money. And, you know, that's it, man. Do remember, man, all out there, Jimmy Jazz got them boots, them 6-inch Timberlands, co-signed and sponsored by Jadakiss. $200, you go up. You know, we pay $190, $180 for constructs
right.
out here
right.
daily. You know what I mean? So, you know, extra $10, extra $20 if the boots is $180. Extra $200 when you step into Jimmy Jazz. You know what I mean? And, you know, they got the accessories. They got a couple of hats and all that to go along with the color to match it right. So you'll be out here styling.
That's it.
Out here styling like one of your favorite rappers. Because I know Jadakiss is one of your favorite rappers. That doesn't even make sense. But,
I know they're doing the juicing thing, too, right, out there?
Oh, yeah, juicing for life. There's three stores out here. There's one in the Bronx. There's one in Yonkers. And there's one in Brooklyn. The one in Brooklyn is it's partially owned by DJ Envy and Angela Yee of the Breakfast Club, Styles and Jadakiss. So that shit out there doing well. You know what I mean? Bro's doing well for himself.
Work. That's classic, man. I appreciate you coming through, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, that's classic and that's motivation. That's some more news, man, for people to get inspired by. And, man, I appreciate you even having me talk bullshit for how long you got me on here, man.
Hey, man, we family, man. You know what I'm saying? Whether
yeah,
we
man, just want people to hear.
We'll still be doing our thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, you know, just want people to hear Chris' voice. You know what I mean? Some shit they probably don't hear all the time. But, man, listen, like I said, I'm Young Duke _ on Instagram, Young Duke 118 on Twitter, Young Duke on Facebook. You can follow me on SoulRaspy.com. You can follow me on SoulRaspy on Twitter. Shit, man, a lot of times when you out here looking, you see Jadakiss, you might just see me. You know what I mean? I'm definitely outside.
What?
Freddy for Jason album coming in Black Friday, November 25th or the 26th.
Wow.
The Locks new EP right now, For No Reason, is out. Check that on Rock Nation /Tidal. And we out here, man. I'm a kid from the bricks, out here moving along with some niggas from Yonkers who show me more love than my niggas from the hood. But we gonna do it right though.
What?
That's where we at with it, man. So I appreciate you letting me get through and talk about these boots. That's $200 at Jimmy Jazz at every store, Jimmy Jazz. If y'all don't got Jimmy Jazz out there in the world, just Google it. They definitely deliver. I believe so. You can get them boots, man. 6-inch joints, leather joints. Yo, I'm telling you, kid, these joints right here are fresh.
Word,
man. So I appreciate you, man. 100, man.
100, man. Love, man. Love,
man.
Be safe out there.
Yeah, man. Trying to be safe out here, man. Ain't nothing but fucking pain out here, man.
Word. And you know how, man? It's been a year, man. Y'all owe me a remix. You know what I'm saying? Y'all owe me a remix, man.
I was talking to him a month about that joint. We definitely gotta. I gotta sit with you. Before we get to it, though, but he definitely with it.
All right. Word.
You got to make all sense. Maybe with some new music come out. You know what I mean? Definitely get to you, man. So,
word.
You know what I mean? But other than that, man, everything is cool, man, as a fan. Trying to stay easy outside and stay sucker free, man.
That's it.
That's it, man.
All right,
what you got going on for the rest of the day, man?
I got like 2 more shows to do before I hit the work, you know what I'm saying? So about to get on that grind and do that thing, man. You know what I'm saying?
You already know, man. Stay safe out there, man. To all the listeners, I say one love, man. Peace and blessings, and stay safe wherever you at. People out here crazy 2017.
Word. All right, Jake.
All right, kids.
Peace. Word. That was my brother, man, Young Dude, PAP veteran, man, from around my way. Grew up with each other like 20 years, you know what I'm saying? So we appreciate everybody calling in, everybody tuning in, and showing that love, showing that honor and respect to one another, you know what I'm saying? So again, subscribe to the show, www.locktalkradio.com/radio, DOTHAKNOWLEDGERADIO. Check us out at DuPontUniversity.com. And like I said, we'll be on tomorrow, Black Psychology Monday. So with that, I'm going to say peace, love, black power, and we'll see you tomorrow. For you,
conscious rap, nah homie, we off that. This warfare music, don't dare confuse it. Barrel of that fully looking something like a pool stick. 100 shot extension plus another with a full clip. I'm hardcore like the center of a beach. Known to bring war in the middle of your street. That's the lean's demeanor, hard like a winter breeze. Ready for the beat, straight swarm on my enemies. Bomb like Tel Aviv, more arms than centipedes. Rebel with the chrome, hair blown, John Kennedy. Slaughter Caucasians, Crystal Lake, I'm chasing. Interrogations, down at the station. No one knows, mouth closed like a mason. Wondering who worse, this white boy or Satan. Good ship Jesus, packed up plankton. On the same boat, you was Kunta, I was Nat. You was running from them crackers, I was running them back. Llama on my side, no problem to let it fry. Fact is, I'ma be in drama till I die. My life, something like a Jim Brown movie. Beefing with the mob, punk pigs trying to shoot me. Surging with the pump, putting work with the Uzi. Or let that Max spit, rip your ass like a loose.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Share your O with something like Ray and Ghost. Only built for warriors, killers, and cutthroats. For the supporters, this for the warriors. Got hands that'll smack hydrogens out of water. When push come to shove, shove come to slug. I don't condone drugs, so why plug the plug? Still killer even with a smile on my mug. Jerk at the RBG Awards, but it's all
and
love.
If it isn't grudge, why do I feel this way? Why black power stay on my mind? Get in line.
Suckers acting like they wanted to, they see that blue steel. You don't know what beef is, oh boy, you need to chill.
Yeah.
My 4-4 pop, the got her for sure shot. Straight black and Doc Mock, warlord in the warlock. Buck shots and rock spots, turn cops to pork chops. Crushed like Carthage, crashing on Camelot. Divine architect from Kemet to Angle Rock.
Ostapo's in the house, can't stop, won't stop. Off and on, it's on. Off and on, it's on. Off and on, it's on. Off and on, off and on, it's on.
Yo. So advanced, I'm late and early, little fella. Your future's in my past, a male version of Sierra. Kill the ambassador, rap with the hologram of Coachella. African centered, self-centered with the metal. Fly guy, keep my head high. This beat is body, better off dead, why? Oh, with Shay like O'Shea and Dre. Natural born killers, then I throw away the throwaway.
Stop my Jay Black. Beetle Green.
Yeah.
Matter of fact.
Rap satisfied, truth get magnified. Wake up passerby half the time and take the hacking line. Batty O Force in Star Wars, I'm Dito Green. Skill Vader with the pen and paper exposing the Palpatines. What I live and breathe, heard the people missing green. Slap a tom once a week so my points never misconceived. Ain't for dancing, it's to motivate the brother standing. I only rap ratchet if my hand around a cannon. Him at the hooded clan and Uncle Sam is dancing. Let me show you, I wrote a pamphlet for signs of understanding. I'm like years ahead of succumbing to white fear. I fight bears, replay volume one and hear a pioneer that raises your babies to shoot. shoot down flying deer. This is how the permit's not, they can fry your hair. In my ear, we fire here, we don't hire here. I got tired ears from young thugs that be rhyming with. Strength in my heart, my core, my leg, and my arms. Power in my songs, ain't for praises for alarm. Cause you people too calm, wolves slaying the fawns. Acting through an acting, serve the king, you play the pawn. Chess move, checkmate and less move. Leave your face redder than Deadpool. Life in a cesspool, power from the wisdom cells. Burn through Winterfell, can't move like a knife. They choose to take a L. Populated nations reduced by administrations. Purchase contamination, self-inflicted decimation. Investigation ain't needed, history being repeated. You ain't the right type, consider yourself deleted. It be like Beetle back, I be like, nah, I'm still redeeming from an extended off-season. I ain't even got my breathing. Veteran instincts, my seasoning ain't for eating, it's for freedom, redemption, and these governments defeated.
Off and on, it's on. Off and on, it's on. Off and on, it's on. Off and on, it's on.
Yeah. Night of Front, Dean Green.
Hello, my listeners. I'm trying to reach the prisoners. Tell America you will stick your black fist in her through black businesses. Learn the truth about our differences, mental enslavement, and Willie Lynch. Wicked. Hello, my listeners. I'm trying to reach the prisoners. Tell America you will stick your black fist in her through black businesses. Learn the truth about our differences, mental enslavement, and Willie Lynch wickedness. To my brothers, I speak because I know that you lost. This is history in the making. You are living a holocaust. Just turn your TV on. You see it's okay to kill us off. If you don't free your mind, our children can't grow strong. Cops don't protect us. They hunt us. Disease infests us. Senseless how that beast could kill us off and keep his tension. Did I mention? You can't trust old reverends. How can I preach to me about an all-white heaven? And my news at 11 systematically shows my aggression. When I suggest this, they claim that I'm rebelling. But this is true expression. You can't sugarcoat oppression. Throw my black fist in the air. Turn my mind into a weapon. To the brothers, I say, yo, do the knowledge with the shorties. That's why half this country being run by the Saudis. America the beautiful, built on the back of the slaves. But ain't no black in the flag, though we fought with they ass. I'm called militant when I choose to shoot down ignorance. Progression of my people was imminent, so I'm with this shit. Just a regular man, humble by all means. Like, yo, I hit the club, but damn, I still read. To free the mind that lives inside, you can't see. You might have to store weapons and water in canteens. Camps of concentration being built with no complications. Fuck Ronald Reagan, he put crack in my ghetto nation. Fuck Daddy Bush, he cooked it up rocking the apron. Fuck little Bush for allowing the plane's devastation. Of course we rule the world of sports, we were bred for strength. That's why we don't rule shit else, we weren't bred for sin. Treated like animals by slave owner, homosexual cannibals that rent and rave cheer at games like they fans of you. And they'll call me a racist, but the black community is the only one in this nation still racially segregated. But they'll turn around, say there's no truth in what I'm complaining. Well, if you doubt in Dino Green, fuck you, you're probably racist. Take that to your church, mosque, and your synagogue. Black power.
Amen.
Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, white power press, white people's paper, and white people's power are enemies against black people. What the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.